Well, good morning. No, not morning. What am I talking about? Good afternoon. It's great to be together again. It's daily devotion time. I hope you've had a splendid day. It's great to be able to pause in the afternoon and open up God's Word and see what He has today. Well, if it's your first time tuning in, we've been working our way through some of the epistles, and we're up to 1 John chapter 4, which is pretty exciting. So if you've got your Bibles there, if you want to open up, we're going to be turning to 1 John chapter 4. Looking at just a few verses. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can open it up and just spend a bit of time digging into it once more. And we pray that as we open it up this afternoon, that you would bless it to us, that we would be nourished and encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, yesterday, if you were with us yesterday, you'll remember that John was talking about testing the Spirit. And, you know, as John writes to a church, he writes to a series of churches, really, that are struggling. A set of churches that are struggling because they're surrounded by enemies, they're weak, they're small, they're insignificant, and everywhere they look, they see problems, they see churches struggling, they see churches with heresy, they see churches with error. And you could imagine that in a situation like that, you'd be tempted to despair, wouldn't you? You'd be tempted to give up. You'd be tempted to maybe call it quits. And so John writes to them to encourage them, to strengthen them, to embolden them to what they've been called to do. And, you know, things aren't that different for us, are they? As we look around the world, what do we see? We see sickness. We see enemies, we see persecution in the church, we see error in the church, we see false gospels, we see heretical movements, we see all sorts of things going on in the church. And I think we too can be tempted, can't we, to despair, to hopelessness, to a sense of, I guess, giving up. Maybe not giving up on the faith, but giving up trying. You know, washing our hands of the effort. And so God also comforts us in his word. And John, he uses John to offer us comfort and consolation as we go into the battle before us. And he does this through three ways. Firstly, he says that we are overcomers. Have a look at chapter 4, verse 4. He says, little children, you are from God. You are from God and have overcome them. So you got a picture being John's readers, and they're surrounded by enemies, and there's these false teachers seeking to distract them from Christ. And John says, you've overcome them. And of course, he's primarily thinking about the false teachers. He's primarily thinking, you've overcome their effort to pull you away from Christ. You see, so confident is John as he exhorts the church to remain faithful, to test the spirits, to ward off the evil one. He is confident that God will bring about the victory through them. You know, it's with that same type of belief and ethos and attitude that Paul uses when he says to the Romans, in Christ, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. In fact, it's a related word. Conqueror, overcomer. The word in the Greek is related together. It comes from the same root. And so John is calling us to be more than conquerors, to be overcomers as we walk out into this world. And we can do that because we have God. It says, you who are from God, you are from God. And those who are from God overcome the world. But not only in Christ are we overcomers in this world filled with so many reasons for despair, but in us, we have the victory. And you might think, wait a second, that sounds a little bit prosperity gospelish. Well, it's not quite what I mean. So have a look at verse 4. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And so when I say we have the victory in us, what I mean by that is we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have God inside of us. We have Christ inside of us. Remember, Paul says, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And here, John, I think mainly probably referencing the Holy Spirit, though he doesn't clarify. I think probably has in his mind the Holy Spirit. They've got these two spirits vying in the church, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the devil, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of lie, as we saw yesterday and is listed at the end of this section as well. And so we have the victory, but it's not because we're strong. It's not because we're able. It's not because we've got a big enough stick by which we can conquer the evil one. But rather it's because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have the Spirit of God inside of us bearing witness, holding us true, holding us firm, carrying us home. But not only are we overcomers because of Christ, not only do we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we know God and we hear God because of the Spirit of truth. Have a look at 5 and 6. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, John says, whoever knows God listens to us. And so this is one of the joys we have, is that we have heard the scriptures through preachers, through reading, through many different ways. And just like for these first century believers who heard it from the mouths of the apostles, we have it in writing from the apostles. And so we have the joy of hearing from God through them and thereby believing in God. And therefore we know him. Well, what difference does this all make? The beautiful difference this means is we can have confidence as we go out into the world. You know what it's like when you look at the world around you and you see cultural changes and you see Black Lives Matter stuff and you see all sorts of weird things going. You see gender transformation, you see abortion going through the roof, you see euthanasia being pushed in New Zealand, you see all sorts of bizarre stuff. And regardless of your perspective on that, most of those movements, most of those ideologies, pretty much all of them, are anti-God and anti the gospel. And so as they get slammed down your throat, you walk into that world and you think to yourself, what on earth am I going to do? But all of a sudden, what John is saying is you can go into that world with confidence. You can go into the world and face everything it throws at you and everything the devil throws at you with confidence. Not because of your strength, not because of your power, but because of he who is in you. Because of God himself. You see, the reality is there's a battle to be fought in this world, isn't there? And it's been going on since the foundation of the earth, hasn't it? since Adam and Eve, or so not from, a little bit after the foundation of the earth, but you get my point. From the time of Adam and Eve, there has been a war going on between the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil. Between the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil. And those two seeds have been battling constantly. And they will continue to battle constantly until Christ returns and finally seals his victory ultimately. And we, along with every other believer, walk in that war. We walk in that trajectory of battle. We take up the armor of God and we walk out into the world, and the world comes and attacks us, and yet we have confidence because this world is not all that there is. It's the same confidence that enabled an amazing missionary, John Patton, to go to what is now called Vanuatu. It was called New Hebrides back then. And as he was going there, one of his elders said to him, "Oh, don't go, you'll be eaten by cannibals." You know, so it's massive opposition. Don't go, don't go. And in his autobiography, I want to read you a quote from him. In his autobiography, he expresses how he managed to face everything he faced. And he says this: "My heart rose up to the Lord Jesus. I saw him watching all the scene. My peace came back to me like a wave from God. I realized that I was immortal till my master's work with me was done. The assurance came to me as if a voice out of heaven had spoken, that not a musket would be fired to wound us, not a club prevail to strike us, not a spear leave the hand in which it was held vibrating to be thrown, not an arrow leave the bow or a killing stone the fingers without the permission of Jesus Christ, whose is all power in heaven and on earth. He rules all nature, animate and inanimate, and restrains even the savage of the South Sea." You see, for John Patton, what he came to realize was that as he faced the world, he was secure in the hands of Christ. And the same thing is true for you and I. We can have boldness because we are citizens of a far better country, and we can lift up our faces and look to glory. We can lift up our faces and look to glory, and no matter what happens to us in this life, we will be sure and secure there as we are here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we can have boldness as we face a crazy world. And we pray that you'd help us to rest sure in your love. In whose name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me today. It's been great to open up God's Word again. And I look forward to seeing you again back here, same place, same time, tomorrow afternoon. Have a most blessed night.